And now, here is our guest speaker on today's broadcast, Mr. William Deans of the Belgian Congo.
I want to tell you the story of Veda, an African murderer who killed three innocent children for 50 francs, a dollar in Canada. Veda lived in a village in northeastern Belgian Congo, right in the center of Africa. He was one of the policemen of a chief of the Walendu tribe, and had never heard the gospel of salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One day the chief sent Veda out to collect fines which had been levied against tribesmen. And when these francs were in his hand, Veda felt very rich indeed, even though the money was not his. He met friends on the road and decided to treat them to a feast. Out came the chief's money as Veda bought meat and native beer. Quickly the francs were squandered, and Veda was afraid to report to the chief, so ran off and hid with friends. The chief waited in vain for the return of his policeman, and soon learned that the money Veda had collected as fines was spent for meat and beer. He was angry, and ordered that Veda be brought to him to return the money or be severely punished. When the news of the chief's anger came to Veda, he was afraid, and tried to borrow money from acquaintances to repay the chief and appease his anger. He was able to gather together part of the sum, but lacked 50 francs, just a dollar in our money. The chief fixed a deadline for the repayment, and Veda was frantic. What should he do? He remembered another friend who lived in a grass hut on the plateau overlooking Lake Albert. This man was a fisherman, and often had money which he earned selling fish. Perhaps he would lend Veda the necessary 50 francs which remained to be found. One afternoon, Veda tramped off on the trail to his friend's house. He found his way through the towering elephant grass to the crude dwelling above the lake. It was a large grass hut with only one door and no windows. The children of his friend were seated in the doorway of the hut. Veda asked for their father, but Love, the oldest child, a girl of 13, told him that both her father and mother were away for several days fishing at the lake, and she was left to care for her two brothers and the baby. Veda had expected to find his friend at home, but now asked Love, the daughter, if he might spend the night and return in the morning. He felt sure that there was money in the house, in his friend's box, and he would steal some that night. Africans are wonderfully hospitable, and Love quickly invited Veda to stay for the night. She prepared a meal for him in the evening, and when all had eaten, she and the other children went to bed and were soon fast asleep. This was Veda's chance. Quickly, he moved over to the side of the hut where he had noticed the box of his friend. The flickering light of the fire in the center of the room enabled him to see. Gently, he opened the box and started removing the contents. Clothing, little household treasures, even a pair of shoes. Suddenly, a large wooden bell, used around the necks of dogs when hunting, fell over in the box with a loud noise, and instantly Love, the girl, was awake and asking, "What are you doing with our father's box?" Veda cursed her and told her to go back to sleep or he would whip her, and the girl was terrified, but soon dropped off to sleep again. Veda found the money in the box, took 50 francs he needed, and replaced the articles. This heathen tribesman then, who knew nothing of God and his infinite love for sinners, then sat smoking a cigarette at the fire and deciding what to do. He had been seen rifling the box. Now his theft would be reported. The only way to do was to destroy the witness. He would burn down the house. Snatching a live coal from the fire, he went outside, his long panga, African bush knife, in hand. The ember was quickly thrust into the tender, dry grass of the hut, and in an instant, it was in flames. Veda stood heartlessly at the door, his bush knife in hand. Soon Love smelled smoke and shouted, "The hut is on fire!" and roused her brothers and ran to the door. As she emerged, Veda dealt her a vicious blow with the panga, and she fled screaming into the banana grove. Her two brothers also tried to escape, but as they came out of the door, Veda killed them with his bush knife. The baby died in the blazing hut. Love went to a government hospital and recovered, but the facts of Veda's crime were divulged, and he was arrested and brought to trial and sentenced to life imprisonment. I met Veda first as he shuffled into the prison infirmary, where weekly I had gospel meetings with the prisoners. He sat chained to guards, a sullen, unhappy man. When he heard the gospel of God's hatred for sin, yet his love for sinners, it seemed unbelievable to him. His heart was moved as he heard how God so loved sinners that he gave his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bear sinners' judgment and die to save them. I saw Veda in the meeting and inquired about him and heard that he was the cruel murderer of 3 innocent children. He came Sunday after Sunday to the prison meetings. His heart thrilled to hear of the thief on the cross who turned his heart by faith to the Lord Jesus, and Veda came to ask if he too might come to the Lord and be saved. He told of his crime without minimizing anything, and what joy was mine to tell him that the Lord Jesus would receive him, sinful as he was. So Veda trusted Christ as his Savior. He gave evidence of being born again by a wonderfully different attitude in the prison. He was now submissive, resigned. He loved to sing the gospel hymns and prayed as a child to his wonderful Savior. The Procureur du Roi, or Attorney General of the Congo, in reviewing the cases and decisions, found objection to the sentence of life imposed on Veda. He called for a retrial. I was permitted to speak for Veda at the trial. I told the sober judges how Veda had never heard of God and his grace before he committed the crime, and told of his conversion, how he was a new man, and that his fellow prisoners would thus testify of his changed life. The Procureur General said that in all the 13 years as prosecuting attorney in the Congo, he had never seen such a dastardly crime. He demanded the death penalty. I was thanked for my testimony, but the judge called Veda to stand and hear the sentence of the court. He would be hanged by the neck until dead. Veda accepted the judgment with a disappointed grunt of assent and returned to his cell. He spent much time in solitary confinement, and I had the opportunity of visiting him often. I grew to love him and marveled at the wonderful peace which flooded his soul. Veda desired to be baptized, and I was going to baptize him in the river near the prison, but there were too many crocodiles in the river. Instead, the government prepared a tank in the prison courtyard, and there, before hundreds of his fellow prisoners, Veda publicly confessed his faith by baptism. He had opportunity several times to tell the prisoners of his love for Christ and his peace of soul through trusting in his finished work on Calvary's cross. He learned several hymns in his language and enjoyed singing them in his prison solitude. One day I received notice from the government judicial department that Veda would be hanged on a certain day. I was asked to go to him and inform him and prepare him for death. I spent part of the night preceding the execution with him in his cell. When I told him he was to die in the morning, he gave assent, then showed concern for his children back in the heathen village. He charged me to go and tell them of Christ, for, said he, they have never heard the gospel. Tell them to trust the Lord Jesus, as I, their father, have done. Food was brought there in the cell of solitary confinement. He ate it with relish, perfectly calm, and then refused the intoxicants well-meaning officials proffered. When he was handcuffed and gowned in a black robe, the police would have blindfolded him too, but he refused, saying, I'm not afraid to die. As he stood upon the specially erected gallows before thousands of witnesses, for he was being made a public example, I stood near him. He looked at me, looked down at me there, and rebuked my grief and said, Buona, I'll meet you in the presence of the Lord. The trap was sprung, and my dear friend Veda was gone. What wondrous peace this murderer found. He rested his soul upon Christ and found peace with God. He learned that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Veda died in perfect peace of soul because he had made peace with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, you too may be burdened by the load of your sin. Soul peace is found only where Veda found it, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come as a sinner to the Savior and find rest to your soul. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, dear friend, we would indeed encourage you, as that man out yonder in the Belgian Congo, Veda, the murdering African, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ to find peace for your soul. There's absolutely no other way that your soul can find rest and repose, that you can find peace with God, but through Christ. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.